Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this May 26, 2016. This is Peyman Mutahedeh, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly program. Every Thursday night at 7 o'clock Eastern Time Zone and 10 o'clock Pacific Time Zone, I hold this weekly conference calls in which I answer your freedom questions about freedom, law, IRS, and how to live free of oppressive taxation and control. Folks, I founded the Freedom Law School in 1996, 20 years ago, to help educate the average American about the law and their rights and how to live free in the land of the free and home of the brave. America was meant to be a free country. You were meant to live a free life in America. And folks, coming from Iran, having been raised in a minority as a Jewish person, I did not have the freedom of speech. In fact, all Iranians did not have freedom of speech. Folks, if you criticize the government of Iran under the Shah, you could have gone to jail, execution, summary trials, no trials, tortured, you know. And coming to America, you can criticize the government any way you want to, and there's nothing they can do about that. And I'm telling you, folks, in America, we have lost our government. They no longer for we the people. They don't work for you anymore. They pretend that they do. The Obamas, the Bushes, the Clintons, they're all a bunch of political money whores. They do what they're told to do so they get money to advertise themselves to you as good guys. And then they end up lying to you, telling you what you want to hear so you vote for them. And that's how we lost our government. We got to wake up and realize that we got to take back our country. And guess what? Two of the biggest lies that we've been told in America, one of them is about the income tax. I believe there is no law that requires you or me or the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. It's a big scam. It's a big lie. It's a deception. It's a fraud that's been foisted on American people because politicians just want the money. They don't care about law. They just want the money because with that money that they get to steal from you, they do favors for the people that put them in power. They get to buy off people's votes by giving money to different segments of the American society. And the second thing, folks, that's a fraud is our money system. Not only our money is not gold and silver anymore, like it was used to be and supposed to be, it's not even issued by our government. Those pieces of paper called Federal Reserve notes, the green and blue paper you see, yes, that is printed by U.S. government and is sold to the banks for 2 cents a piece, approximately. But guess what? The act of creation of money is the banks making money out of thin air and lending it to you to buy a car or a home. Businesses and corporations, they want to invest in new plant equipment or projects or research, whatever. They borrow from the banks. And even the U.S. government, folks, all the governments in America, they want money. They borrow from the Federal Reserve banks. Yep. All the money in the system is borrowed money. That means that we all pay interest to the banksters. They are the real lord of America, the real owners of this country, the real government, because even the government has to pay interest to the banks. And they want that income tax because you pay that to the government, and the government uses your money to pay interest to the banksters, make them richer. And the biggest banksters are Chase, Citi, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and Goldman Sachs Investment. Those are big crooks and criminals that run America and abuse the people of the world also. What's going on in Greece, for example, and these, you know, Spain, and you know, those countries, Goldman Sachs is behind a lot of that. So anyhow, how does it come to you? Well, folks, I'm here to tell you, number one, the truth. If you can handle the truth, Freedom Law School will give it to you. Number two, Freedom Law School will provide you the education so you know what's going on. And I don't just give you political education. I will tell you, teach you about law, the U.S. Constitution, your rights, and the proper procedures and steps you want and need to take to live free. This is something, folks, that's very unique. Very unique with Freedom Law School, folks. So as a result, you can take the right steps to live free. In addition, folks, I will provide you assistance if you need to live free to get these thieves and criminals off of your back. So folks, Freedom Law School is a source of education and solutions that work for you. So, what I'll be doing tonight is I'm going to answer your freedom questions. And then, folks, I will be talking to you about the subject of the call tonight. The subject of the call tonight, folks, is we have 3 weeks left until we put the IRS and the United States government on trial in a federal district court in Oakland, California. Because they cannot, and they refuse and fail to show the law that requires the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. They claim there is a law, but they run away from every opportunity that's been made available to the government to show the law that they claim requires you, me, and the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. So folks, we'll talk about that later on. First, you want to go to our website before I get your questions and go to livefreenow.org and sign up for our 1 year free education, Freedom Law Education, that Freedom Law School will send you. Freedomlawschool.org has even a lot more stuff there for you if you'd like to read more. So go there. That's your first step to education. We'll send you the speech of my student, Joel Bannister, a former IRS special agent who defected from the dark side of the government and the politicians and the big banks and corporations to the side of we the people and the U.S. Constitution to stand up for Americans' rights, to tell you the truth, what's going on within our government, within the IRS, within the it really steals agency. So that speech will be sending you on audio CD so you can listen to it in your car at your convenience, folks. So we'll send you as many education material as you want to get as many of these material out to people as you want. So with that, folks, let's see if you can get your questions one person at a time. We have a caller from area code 724. If you have a question, caller from area code 724, please give your first name and the question. Okay, no question from caller from area code 724. Let us now go to the caller from area code 516. If you have a question, please announce your first name and then your question.
Yes, Payman, it's Randy from New York. And
okay, let's now go to the caller from area code 805. If you have a question, caller from area code 805, please announce yourself, your first name, only for your privacy. And then,
hi, Payman, this is Mark.
Okay. Hello, Mark. How are you today? Mark, you're calling from area code 805, correct?
Damon, this is Randy from New York.
Randy from New York, from area code 516. Okay. Very good, my friend. Let's get to Randy, then we get to Mark first. Okay. All right.
Is Mr. Grant the plaintiff or the defendant in this case?
Well, although it is the defendant is Richard Thomas Grant, but in practice, we will get to put the government and the IRS on trial. We'll get to present a full case about Mr. Grant writing to his congressman senators up to show him the law that requires him to file up income tax, ask him to refute Joe Barrister, the special agent of the IRS, of him confronting the IRS about the law that requires Americans to file up income tax. How can they ever answer Joe Barrister? And he followed up on that story. So in practice, we get to put the government on trial.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome,
So he's charged with tax evasion, correct?
Yes. I'll talk about it later on tonight, Randy. That's a subject I'll be talking in more detail, my friend. So what I do with this part of the Commerce Call, Randy, is I answer people's freedom questions about their issues they got going on right now. And then later on, I'll get to talk about this subject in more detail.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Folks, hold on. I'll be right back in 4 seconds. Okay, let's go now to our next caller from area code 805. If you have a question from area code 805, caller, go ahead and give me your first name only and then your question.
Hi, Payman. It's Mark.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Fine. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, my friend. So
okay.
What's it in mind, Mark?
I sent you a mailer, and Darlene said she sent it to you. My actions against the IRS in 2013, I've got a court case right now set up with the tax court. My question to you is, should I perhaps, instead of pursuing this in a U.S. tax court, maybe try to pursue it in an Article III court? Would that be better?
No, because what you want, it doesn't exist the way you think it exists. Okay, if you want to get a jury trial over taxes, the law that you did not know about is you have to pay the tax and pay tax first in full. Then you sue for a refund. So the government will give you the trial you want, the jury trial. They just say, just pay the tax in full first, no matter how illegal you think it is, how unconstitutional it is, how arbitrary it is. Doesn't matter. Pay first the tax in full, then you get to argue whatever you want. So if you want, you could do that. But the problem is now, because you have petitioned a tax court for this particular tax year, there's another law that they put in there. Is that because you went to tax court, now you cannot go to another court. This is it. You're stuck. So either... But the good thing about tax court is you don't have to pay anything up front, okay, to challenge the tax. But you will not get a jury. So
okay.
That's the advantage and disadvantage of the tax court versus, you know, regular court that you want.
Okay. Now, I can appeal, though, because if it was a small court case, I wouldn't be able to appeal. But I made sure it was like a large court case so that I could appeal it in case it went against me.
Yes, a regular tax court case. Yes, you did the right thing there.
Good, good. Okay. Okay, so then I'll have to prepare. Yeah, and it's going to be in San Diego. I just don't know. It's so early now, we don't know what the date is. But
where do you live?
San Diego.
What part of California do you live in?
I live in Ventura County in Simi Valley.
Why did you have it in San Diego? Why not Los Angeles, for example?
I just didn't like the location in Los Angeles. I drove by it a couple times, and I just didn't like it. I thought San Diego seemed to be maybe a little more favorable.
No problem. It's a little longer drive, but if it works for you, that's fine.
Plus, they have to drive further, too.
No, they're going to give your case to a lawyer in San Diego versus a lawyer in Los Angeles. That's all.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, my argument right now is using the code, which, as you very well know, even in the code, there's no, you know, I don't meet the criteria for being taxable. I'm not a U.S. citizen according to my residency.
Where are you from?
Where am I from originally?
Yeah.
Kansas City, Missouri. Then
you are a U.S. citizen and a state citizen at the same time.
Well,
the whole
not according
state,
to the...
Not according to the code, you might say. Well, let me tell you this, my friend. If you want to argue the code, you are welcome to do so. But remember this. There exists, my friend, a corrupt judicial conspiracy to protect and preserve the federal income tax.
Oh, sure.
No,
that's why
government paid bias judge will rule on the code that the income tax is a giant fraud. They just can't believe, even if you were to enlighten the judge, he can't believe that after all these decades of income tax, all the judges have been wrong all these decades, and you are the one that knew the truth and you told this judge the truth. He's going to say, no, it can't be. I'm just going to declare your argument frivolous and rule against you. That's what they do, my friend. So if you want to have that exercise and fun and get to argue your case and lose, you can do that. That's your prerogative. If you want to have argue your case, you can argue it in writing. If you want to win, however, that's a different question. So you got to ask yourself, what is the purpose of you going to court? To get to argue your case in writing before the judge, knowing that you're going to lose at a time? Then you're doing the right thing. But if you want to win, then they have to take a different tack. So think about which is what you really want, my friend, and then take that action accordingly, Mark.
Well, yeah, I would rather win. So I guess maybe according to what you're saying, Payman, then you would tell people to pay the tax and then try to get in front of a jury trial?
No, I don't tell people that because people, most of them, do not have the money to be able to pay and do a refund. It's not a realistic refund lawsuit. It's not a realistic option available even for people. I tell them you go to court, but use the technical procedures of the game to beat these guys. You got to be even smarter than them. You got to use the tactics that the founding fathers used in the American Revolution, which you saw was Mel Gibson in the movie Patriot showed before you. You remember the movie Patriot with Mel Gibson, Mark?
No, I haven't seen that, unfortunately.
Well, you need to do it. Go on, get it online. You can see it. The Patriot by Mel Gibson came out, about maybe 12 years ago, something like that. A great movie about the American Revolution by patriotic Mel Gibson. And it shows that, I'll give you the synopsis of it, is that the head-to-head battles of the Patriots, founding fathers, with ragtag militia, with duck hunting guns, they would lose to the red coat, better organized, better armed British Army. And the Mel Gibson character was an experienced fighter who showed them guerrilla fighting methods, ambushing the enemy. Don't go head-to-head. You're going to lose on head-to-head combat. Go ambush them, kill 2, kill 10, injure 15 of the redcoats. Keep them up all night, wondering they're going to get ambushed in the middle of the night, and then they're going to be tired the next day because too many of them are up at night not wanting to get ambushed, and you ambush them during the daytime. You know, so this is what he did, and with his guerrilla tactics, he wore down the enemy enough that later on in head-to-head battles, the enemy was weakened enough you could beat them. Okay, and that's what we're doing right now with the case that I'll talk about in this case in California. Okay, it's going to be a political win in that, you know, the defendant will be acquitted, but it will not be a proof that there is no law in a legal sense, but it'll be out there. It'll be out there that he won because the government could, you know, would never show him the law, Mr. Grant, the law that required him to file an income tax. It's a political win and a legal win. So in your case, what matters is you win. That's
okay.
All that matters. And whatever, and the government wants the opposite. They want you to lose, no matter at what cost or whatever way. They want you to lose. They want to make an example out of you, cut your head, put it on a stick, show it around town. He lost. Another frivolous patriot down the drain. See, you get to realize this is a battle, my friend. This is a battle for freedom. You're going against a bunch of criminal tyrants, criminal bureaucrats, criminal judges who want to just advance their careers by chopping the heads off some more tax protesters, they think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Freemasons.
You're not going to fear. Yeah, well, no, don't go too far now. No. Doesn't mean everyone, I'm the Freemason now. And it's not like that, or Illuminati, or part of New World Order. It doesn't work like that, okay? There's a lot of people that just think they're just doing the right thing because they've been brainwashed and lied to. You remember, you and I used to be brainwashed maybe 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, right? We were down too. Yeah, so give them a benefit that a lot of these government employees just think they're doing the right thing. They don't know. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, to prepare to win, to fight to win, to use the technical procedures, guerrilla warfare. Do you cover that in your level one course?
I cover a little bit of that in level one course. I go over it in more detail in how to beat the IRS in tax court. But if I remember correctly, you use the Pete Hendrickson method, correct?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's a different approach, which I don't recommend people do, but you did. And so that's going to require a different approach that it may not even work. You might have just tired yourself. You see, the reason I don't like the Pete Hendrickson approach is exactly because of in your situation. Sometimes people get the refunds, okay, and he posts them on his website. Hey, we got a refund. But at other times, the IRS ignores what you send them, all the documentation, all the correcting your employer erroneously saying, telling the IRS that your money, the money you were paid was taxable income, but it wasn't, you know? So hold on a second, please. So shows all the victories, but when the IRS does not refund your money and says it claims you owe them money, and you go to tax court, you've already admitted that you got paid that X amount of dollars from your employer, right? But you're saying that that money was not taxable income, correct?
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah. Well, guess what? All that happens is that crooked government paid, government biased tax court judge, you're telling them that emperor wears no clothes. You're saying it's not just Mark's income from his employer, and that's not taxable. You're saying basically everybody that works in America, none of the employees, their wages are taxable. And the judge is going to say, well, I disagree with you. Thank you, Mark, for admitting and telling us you actually did receive the money from your employer. We have a disagreement. Your position, Mark, is that money you received from your employer is not taxable. And you claim you have the law on your side, and you cite whatever laws you want to cite and claim and rely upon. Guess what? You're only a citizen. Okay, your opinion doesn't matter. Your reading of the law doesn't count. What counts is me and my opinion. I'm the judge, and I say simply, you are wrong. All the money received from your employer was taxable. So you owe taxes on it, plus penalty and interest. And get out of here. Don't waste my time. And the judge will either penalize and sanction you up to $25,000 for, in his opinion, wasting his time and the court's time and valuable limited resources with your, what he labels as frivolous arguments. He'll do that. Or he'll tell you, hey, you brought this frivolous argument to this court. It's your first time. I'm giving you a warning, Mark. You come back to this court with arguments, I will fine and punish you next time for bringing this kind of argument to court. Now, you can take my advice or not. You know, I'm the kind of person, folks, I love to read books. You know why I love to read books? Because I like to learn the easy way. The easy way is to learn from other people's mistakes and successes. But there's a lot of Americans out there, you know, including a lot of teenagers, you know, all of you know teenagers, right? What are the teenagers famous for? They want to find out things for themselves, right? You as a parent tell them, hey, I know how this works. Don't do it this way. What are they going to do with the teenager? I'm right. I know it better than you. Okay, go ahead, son. Go ahead, daughter. They do it. They find out that, guess what? They were wrong. Okay? You know, they think that they know better than you. Folks, I've been doing research in this stuff for over 20 years. I want to get rid of this corrupt criminal income tax, you know, as much as you, if not more than you, my friend. Okay? But I don't want you to go out there and get shredded to pieces, you know, and then give up. Because what happens, Mark, if you go in there and get shot down, you're gonna get, they're going to crush you, hurt you. You're going to say, oh, well, it doesn't work. They get you with a jugular. They're taking your paycheck eventually, most of it. They force you to file tax returns to go easy on you, okay? And you say, oh, well, I file the tax returns. I make the payment arrangement. I got to keep up with it. Otherwise, they'll take more from me. Doesn't work. I fought it. It didn't work, and you quit. And I don't want you to quit, Mark. I want you to stay in the fight.
I don't either. Okay, yeah. So you would be – I think John Turner was maybe one of your speakers years and years ago, a former IRS collection agent. So you would take kind of like his position where he said, where he would ask the question, well, show me where it says in the code that anybody has to, you know, that is anybody's required to pay a tax. And then I could also follow that up with, well, can you show me where, can you prove that I'm a U.S. citizen? And then, can you prove that H2 Scan Corporation was a trader business? Is that the kind of approach maybe I should go with?
No. First of all, it's different when you go out on a commerce call like this or speak someplace. That's different. Or you want to just talk to an IRS agent. That's different than when you're in court. Okay?
Right.
It's a whole different thing. He didn't do that before the court. When you go before the court, they ignore you. Okay, they just shut you down and they say you're frivolous. So none of these arguments that you want to make would work. The problem is that because of the fact that you've admitted to your income, the money you received, this year is pretty much shot already, I'm afraid. All you can do is buy yourself more time, perhaps, and make sure you don't get further penalized for asking these kind of questions. Okay, the main issue, to be honest with you, is really for the future years, what you can do to do them the right way. Okay, so then in the future, you won't have the same problem that's going to come after you. There's a lot of stuff you can do. And the past, sometimes, folks, we all make mistakes. I've made mistakes in the movement way back then. I did. And I lost. I did. So I learned from my first mistakes I made, okay? And that's what you can do, okay, is learn from that, see how you can do it better next time, my friend. That's, to be honest with you, that's what's going to be the end result of your case based upon my experience for 20 years, how this stuff works.
Okay. Well, I appreciate
your
honesty.
Any questions before I go next caller, my friend?
No. I appreciate your honesty.
Well, you're welcome, my friend. That's, folks, I believe in telling the truth. And, you know, if people can handle the truth, I'll tell them it may not be the sweetest thing that you want to hear. But the truth is the truth, and the sooner we learn from the truth and act accordingly, the less damage we'll be and the more successful we'll be down the road, my friend. So thanks for calling, Mark. Let me see if some other people have questions on the call this time, okay?
Okay.
Okay, all right. Let's see now. We got a caller from area code 512 with a question. Call from area code 512. What is your name, my friend? And then tell me your – Jonathan, very good. Good to hear from you, Jonathan. All right. What's on your mind, Jonathan?
My question is, if you have filed your tax returns with IRS, can you still claim or not pay the IRS taxes if you file?
No, because remember,
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, like in the system we have, you know, you can't get a loan unless, like for a house, unless you show your tax returns to the banks to get a loan for a property or whatever, any kind of investment or any kind of deal, you have to show your tax returns to prove your income that you're able to pay the payments. So you have to file your taxes. So if you have, say you filed your taxes for 3 years and then you haven't paid any of the taxes, do you have any kind of legal recourse to say, I'm not going to pay the taxes now, even though I filed, or is it too late?
You can bankrupt them.
Bankrupt yourself, or bankrupt who?
Bankrupt yourself, so you bankrupt the taxes. You can, in bankruptcy, get rid of the taxes. You could do it that way. If you file, Jonathan, you admitted that you owed them the money. It's not a, it's not just a filing, it's a confession. It's a confession
form. Yeah, I know.
Form.
Yeah, so in order to declare bankruptcy, you have to have no money.
Well, most people don't have much money, you know, so that should not be a problem for most people. If you don't have the money for your taxes, it suggests that you probably don't have money, so you could back up the taxes.
But if the problem was that you have a lot of money in investments and you own a lot of properties that have equity in them, then they will. You can't file bankruptcy, or you can't even if you liquidated your assets and you had a bunch of cash, you can't file bankruptcy unless you took all the cash out of the account or something, or donated it to a charity or something. Am I right? I mean,
correct. Yeah, no, you're right. You are right. You are right. Yes, yes. You can't have
so
any, because you're right. Because if you have any equity in real estate, any cash investments in a bankruptcy, that will be taken first. So what you said is correct.
Even your homestead, if you have any equity in the homestead, they will also take that.
No, the homestead will be exempt in a bankruptcy.
Okay. So if somebody wanted to basically, they know that the IRS is an illegal, you know, they had to play about the game by the rules and to get the loans and all that. So they had to file their, they had to file their taxes to get loans, but they didn't make the payments to the IRS. So what would be if someone was to say, okay, I'm trying to avoid paying the IRS, and then they would have to hide all their assets. And then if they, the IRS is going to know where you had assets, and they're going to ask, where did those assets go? Right?
Right, right. Well, that's why.
They're going to come hunting it down.
That's why one of the questions they ask you in the bankruptcy form petition you file is they ask you, in the last 12 months, have any of your basically assets been given or sold to somebody else? They ask you that question. So for that very reason, because they want to find out if maybe in the last 12 months you have transferred some of your wealth to other people in anticipation of the bankruptcy, in anticipation of you're getting rid of your assets before bankruptcy. You look like you don't have anything, but you actually don't. You just give it to some people you know and trust. You know, that's what you did.
Yeah.
That's what they asked that question, to try to, you know, weed out people that may try to do something like that.
So in that situation, the only thing you can do is work with the IRS to pay them.
Because you have income and assets, yes. Because you admitted that you owed them the money. When you file a 1040 income tax confession form, it's a confession form. You under oath say, I owe this much money.
Yeah. So the only thing you can do is work out a deal with them, maybe to settle somehow, or like I talked to them about that, and they say, you know, well, if you pay everything you owe us, then in the one-time case, once you paid everything, then they'll refund you back all the interest and fees if you pay everything that you owe them.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's kind of deal sometimes they do, correct.
So that's the only option for that situation, it seems.
Yeah, payment plan or payment full.
Yeah.
Is it on, yeah.
Yeah. So if you pay in full, then they'll agree that they'll refund you all of their interest and charges. If you pay them the whole thing in full, then maybe they will, maybe they won't, type of thing. Or they say they will, you know, if you agree in writing. And then, so
right.
Basically,
but even then, before they give you any kind of breaks, before they give you the breaks, they're going to want you to fill out a piece of paper called Form 433A, collection form, in which you tell them all your income and assets and liabilities. So you tell them exactly what you got before they make a deal. They will not make a deal with you without knowing what you got. So then they don't just, you know, take interest and penalties off willy-nilly just because you want to pay in full. They don't do that. Because they know they can go take your paycheck, your bank account, your assets, somebody paying you money. They can to third parties directly. They can go take your money, your commissions or whatever. So that's why, you know, they're not going to give you breaks so easily as you may think.
Okay. So, so basically, they're not going to refund your interest if they know you have more assets.
That's right. They say, why? Why should you give you a break? Why should you give you a, not mean refund, I mean give you a break, take them off. Take off interest and penalties. No, they generally don't. They don't. They're a bunch of thieves. They only give you a break only when they have to, generally speaking. If you are poor, if you have no money, you can't get the water out of a rock, then they have to give you a break. Whenever you got money, they want you to pay them.
So the idea would maybe be to settle with them before they see your assets and show that you have negative assets or your assets are not that valuable, and then you settle before that, then they won't see that you have many assets or your assets are not. Say you have a property that's not fixed up yet or anything, and it looks.
Hold on, let me tell you this. Let me give you. The answer is this: if you can get the IRS agree in writing that you owe them, let's say $50,000, and they take off $10,000 in penalty and interest, if you pay $40,000 up front, that would be one thing. You can do that. Unless you can do that, it ain't gonna happen. Period. End of story. All the other stuff you're gonna tell me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You gotta give me writing to commit that you're gonna lower this amount from A to B if you pay in full by such a date. Unless they do that in writing, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So if you can do that, good luck. Talk to the person, you know. But they generally don't do it. They generally want to know what all your income assets is before they think about paying your deal, giving you a deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
you have a collection agent on your case right now, Jonathan?
No, I don't. They haven't asked me yet.
Well, that's
I filed
thing, yeah.
So I know eventually they're going to be asking me, pay us the money, and they're going to come, you know, or whatever.
Right.
So
yeah.
I'm trying to. So basically, I need to settle with them before I sell the assets and have cash, liquid.
And like I said, they don't take out penalty interest. I don't know who told you that to you. They always want you to fill out the collection form. What's that?
They told me that whenever I talked to them, I said, you know, okay, so I know I owe you guys, you know, all these taxes for these years, but I've had hardships and I don't have the money now. I have losses, so I don't have the money to pay. And they're like, okay, well, if you can pay it all up front, then they'll whenever you can pay it or settle, then they'll deduct they didn't even say settle. They said just pay it all, and then they'll refund you back they'll make a deal with you. If you pay the whole thing, then they'll refund you back the interest and the fees and everything.
Hold on, Jonathan. See, the problem is you just misled the IRS agent on the phone, and he bought that misleading information you gave me. He said, oh, I'm having a hard time. I don't have anything. But you just told me you do. That's not true. And, of course, what the government assume, they assume on the phone that you fill out the collection information from Jonathan and show and prove that you have your money, prove you have nothing, so that when you go beg and borrow from your friends and family members to pay the IRS, oh, okay, then we'll give you a break. See, they're just going on a conversation with you. But IRS wants proof of your claim. But if you can prove that, just like you told them, sure, they don't want to give you a refund either. That, you know, they will just lower the amount. You fill out a form, you have nothing, you Mr. Johnny Paycheck, you know, like some of our previous callers, like Mark, last caller, is a Johnny Paycheck. He's not like you. He's not a business owner, investments, house, in your bank and all. So he's not like that. His main asset is his paycheck. And maybe he has a few thousand savings. He has some mutual funds or stocks, a bond portfolio or real estate, fixer-upper or not. He has none of those stuff. With him, they have to make a deal because he's got nothing. Yeah. And they tell him to fill out the form, a collection form. He'll do it because they already know about his paycheck, and he's got nothing else. For you, it's not like that. You see? See, for you, it's not like that. You got stuff. And so we told him that, oh, you sound like Mark. I'm a Johnny Paycheck. I got only my paycheck. That's all. Oh, okay, yeah, we get a lot of that. You okay. Of course, they want you to prove it. That's your Mark paycheck, but you're not. So I tell you what, Jonathan, you got the money to do a one-on-one conversation with me privately. Let's do that, my friend. I can help you a lot more for you privately on a private call than a public call. Okay? Yeah. Let's set up a one-on-one private consultation, my friend, and you can tell me a lot more specifically about your situation, and I can give you a lot more specific answers that will work for your particular situation, Jonathan.
Okay. Do you guys do The thing with the hardship is not exactly a lie. Like
it's a lie. You just told me you have assets and income. You have equity in real estate, and you got some investments.
I have equity in real estate, but the problem is the reason why I can't sell these assets is because they're in bad condition. So if I don't have the money to fix up those properties, then I can't get the assets out of the property. So
I understand that.
I don't have liquid cash. I just have properties that are not valuable that I could sell for more, maybe, if I can fix them up.
Yep, exactly, Jonathan. And that's why what you're asking, my friend, is beyond the conference call, free conference call. I can take just 10, 20 minutes and give you an exact solve the solution problem you got. It's not that. It takes longer than that, my friend. You got more complex. I got to go over your uniqueness of your situation to design a strategy for you. That's what makes your case more complicated.
So you guys, so you do that type of thing, consultation for this type of situation?
Yes.
Okay.
You say it'd be $240 for 1 hour cash only. Send that to Freedom Law School by priority mail with any paperwork you got and with your questions and situation in writing as much as you can ahead of time, because that will save me time. That will save you money because I charge you for $4 per minute in a private consultation. So the more you have in writing, the less I have to ask you on the phone, the more I can fix. I'm working out a solution for you and make sure you understand it so you can execute it. And any portion of the consultation that you did and get used up, I can refund it to you, or give you credit to if something else you want to get with Freedom Law School.
And all of it is confidential.
That's why I don't want you in a conference call. Because it's not confidential. This is like a radio program on your local ABC radio show. Like on KABC, you're broadcasting it. That's right now.
Okay. Well, this was all hypothetical anyway.
Yes, of course, of course. I understand.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for the advice for what someone would do for a future situation in this situation.
No problem. That's what I'm here for. Okay, so hang on there, my friend. Listen to other people's questions. You may find them informative and useful to you as well, my friend. Okay, let's go to our next caller from area code 941. Who do we have from area code 941 calling?
Hi, it's John calling from Venice, Florida. And I was actually listening more for what you're going to cover here with Richard Thomas Grant. But in the chart, that he failed to make individual income tax returns and pay income tax to the IRS for years 2009. How do they know whether he made an income tax return or not? It doesn't say that he didn't file it. It says that he didn't make it.
No, he didn't file it. He openly didn't file it. He believed he was not required to file one.
Well, they're not charging him for not filing it. They're charging him for not making it. You can make it and not file it is my point. Well,
if you don't file it, then it doesn't matter. You can make it in your own garage. It doesn't matter. They want you to file it with the IRS. To them, that's what they want you to do. They say you didn't do that.
Yeah, but the law doesn't say that you have to file it. It says that you have to make it.
Well, what they mean by make it, the government courts have said, is writing it up and submitting it to the IRS.
Yeah, but is that in the definitions of the statute?
Well, that's what the courts say. To make a return, you don't write it up and keep it in your own house. You know, they're talking about giving it to the government. That's what it's about. They say you didn't do that.
Okay. Very good. I'll get out of your hair, but I'd like to listen to the rest of it here to see what you have to say about this case.
Sure, my friend. No problem. I'm glad you called. I'm glad we got a call from Florida, the new state I moved into, which I love very much. Okay, let's go to Las Vegas, Nevada, from area code 702. We have a call from area code 702, but let's see. Take a little while to take you. Here we go. Can you hear us, my friend? What is your name, area code 702?
This is Phil. I'm just listening in for some new information.
Very good, my friend. Thank you for calling and be willing to learn. Let's go to our next caller from, San Fernando Valley in Southern California, area code 818, where I used to live in the LA area. Okay, who is the caller? What's your name, my friend? Okay, the caller from area code 818 does not have a question at this time. So we're going to go to our next caller from area code 586. Do you have a question, caller from area code 586? If so, please give us your first name.
Yes. Yeah, my first name is Ron. Can you hear me?
Yes, Ron. Uh-huh.
Can you hear me? Okay, I'm from Detroit. Well, I have purchased a home in 2009. I took money out of my 401k. And purchased me a home, and then they said I didn't have them take out enough taxes. So then the IRS did my tax return, and they said I owe them all this money. So, you know, and I was wondering, is there? So we've been trying to make get an arrangement for the last few years, which we're still in that process. I already sent them all my information, and right now I'm waiting on to see what our arrangement is supposed to be. So I'm wondering, is there, like the other caller, I was wondering if there's a way that if it says I owe, that I could get out of that. But I guess it's not then. According to what I said.
Well, no, wait a minute. You said the IRS, did you file or IRS file for you?
I had filed, but they had refiled. And said that I owed this money, 2009, because it was they said that I didn't have them take out enough tax, so they wrote that as taxable income.
Well, did the IRS send any certified letters?
Yes, I think they did.
Okay, because depending on what did they, was it a notice of deficiency?
Well, a notice of deficiency. Well, it's been a while. It's been since I think they did it in like 2011. But I had my tax preparer to refile it, and of course, it's going to show that I owe.
Okay, so basically, at the end of it, you did file the 1040 form yourself, so you owe them the money. Like Jonathan, you know, that called earlier. And so based upon that, you owe them the money, and you either got to pay them with a payment plan or you can pay them in full, or the other alternative you have is to bankrupt them, as you heard me tell Jonathan.
No, I did hear you say that, but I thought that you couldn't put your taxes in bankruptcy.
Well, that's
a school loans.
Student loans are – you can even bankrupt student loans, but it's very difficult, bankrupting student loans. You can bankrupt the taxes, but there are specific conditions you have to meet. Okay, so
okay.
But again, that's a myth. There's a lot of myth out there because – most lawyers, you know, don't understand this stuff because bankrupting taxes is a double specialty. You need to know taxes and bankruptcy both, so you have to bankrupt taxes. That's why. So most bankruptcy practitioners do not know taxes. Most tax practitioners do not know bankruptcy. That's why that myth has gone around, but you can bankrupt taxes. How much does your tax 1040 income tax confession form shows you owe the IRS?
Right now it's about $40,000, and then I owed for the last 3 years, so that added on this year another $7,400. So it's above $40,000 right now. I don't know exactly where it's at, but have you heard of the? I mean, I'm pretty sure you probably heard of the Fresh Start Initiative program. Because they gave all that money, you know, to bail out the big companies, and they said the IRS had a program. Well,
what about it?
From what I've learned from that, after 10 years, if you can't pay a certain amount of it back, according to what you pay after 10 years, for a 10-year period, that you can pay significantly lower amount. I don't really understand it fully yet, but.
No, you got a lot of stuff half understood and half confused, okay?
Right.
A fresh start essentially is if you have no money, you know, or very little bit to pay the IRS, they'll reduce the tax amount significantly because you don't have the money to pay them, and, you know, let you just go on from here forward. That's what that is. The 10-year thing is that they have 10 years to collect the tax, and that tax after 10 years becomes uncollectible. It expires. Okay, they can reassess the tax another 10 years, but they usually do not do that. Okay.
Okay.
So, that's what's going on there. So, but in your case, again, you could sound like you could possibly bankrupt this 2011 40,000. When did you file the 1040 form for your 2011?
Well, it was really for 2009, but I think we filed it in 2011 because they refiled what I made in 2009 in 2011. Then I had my tax preparer to redo it as well in 2012 for the same one, 2009.
Okay.
So
okay.
I think it was in 2012 we redid it.
In 2012, you refiled for 2009?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Yeah, probably the best thing to do is you can bankrupt the whole $40,000.
Great. Okay. If that's doable, I guess I'll have to. Is that a private consultation as well, or?
Yes.
Okay. So I just call that number, the Freedom Law number, and then I can let the young lady know. Or how do I get in touch with you?
All you do is, like as you heard me talk to Jonathan also, send a 240 cash only by priority mail to Freedom Law School. Put all your paperwork in there, your situation in writing. It helps me get a good idea when I read your paperwork, what you got there, the IRS letters, everything. And then make sure you have all your phone numbers there, of course. I forgot to tell that to Jonathan. Phone numbers, that's critical. Then as soon as your package is received, you'll be called and set up a time for us to discuss your case privately in detail. With solutions.
Okay, that sounds good. All right. That's all the questions I have. Oh, and there's one other one. I guess this kind of answered that, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Yes.
After we find, after say that we go through and we get them to stop taking money out of our checks, you know, I work and I get a paycheck. we get them to stop taking money out of our wages. Is there a way, I mean, I've been paying taxes for over 30 years. Is there any way that I can recoup any of the money that I paid in taxes for all those years?
There is a potential way. You heard the very first caller on this call, Mark, okay, that I spoke with him, okay, and that's what he tried. He tried those methods, like the Pete Henderson method, of trying to get his money back. And some people have been successful with that, but some people are not successful, and they'll come after him instead, like they come after Mark. So there's not a one-size-fits-all guaranteed way to work. And I found that more often than not, actually, the IRS comes after you harder because of the fact that, you know, because of that. So sometimes it's better, generally speaking, I think it's better for the let the bygones be bygones and try to be more forward-oriented. What can you do from here forward? Your $40,000 bankruptcy is one thing else, you know, but generally speaking, the thing is, you know, if they take your money from the out of your paycheck, it's harder to get it back than having them not take it out of your paycheck in the first place.
Right. I mean, you know, through not get out of my paycheck, but what I mean, just like taking the taxes out regularly, not taking nothing extra out. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
Okay. Just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, all right. I'll send that out, and we can go from there. That's all the questions I have.
All right. Very good, my friend. Okay, let's go to area code 315. Call from area code 315. If you want to give me your first name and your question, I'll be happy to answer your questions for you. Okay. So it looks like the call from area code 315 does not have a question. Let's go to a caller from area code 213 that we have. Call from area code 213. Do you have a question from downtown Los Angeles area?
Is that me? I don't know.
Are you calling from area code 213?
213-245-0713.
That's you. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, you the one. Don't give your number. That's okay, my friend. You are the one. What's your name, my friend?
My name is Raymond Rivas, and I used to go to your seminars when you live around here in San Fernando, Tucson, Oxford, all these areas. I'd like to congratulate you for all the help you've given us. My question to you is, can you give me the case number and the city and the court in Oakland so I can, because I'm planning to go there the 13th of next month.
Yes, I will give the court case number after I answer everyone's questions. Yes, Raymond, I will do that.
Okay, basically that's it. And I'd like to say thanks to you and the rest of the people that are following you on internet or whatever. Like I said, I have a chance to meet all these guys, Joe Bannister, Tom Cryer, I know he passed away, and a whole bunch of great people. And I'd like to say thank you for all the work you've done for all of us.
You are most welcome. Good to hear from you, Raymond. When was it that you came across Freedom Law School originally?
I'm sorry?
When was it that you came across Freedom Law School originally?
Well, actually, the first time I met you, that was when I heard about you, that's about 8-9 years ago when you were in here in California. And ever since I've been following you, I have ordered some of your books. I have gone through your seminars when you were here, but now you're too far away.
Well, my friend, we're on the phone call away at Freedom Law School. Did you sign up for our free education at the livefreenow.org that we gave you?
Yes.
Excellent. Very good.
I'm going to order some of your books on, you know, as soon as I find all your info, because you have very good books and information and a lot of help from you.
Well, you're welcome, and thanks for staying in touch with Freedom Law School.
So thank you so much, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you, Raymond. I very much appreciate your support.
I'll be looking for that address as soon as you're ready, whenever you're ready.
No, I will give all that. The case number address, I'll give all that to you. I got a few more people I got to answer questions, Raymond, my friend. I will get you as soon as I can because that's a very good – I want everybody to be there if you can, you know, like Raymond, folks. Let's pack that court, okay?
And I'm afraid to get some of my family members and some few friends just to, you know, just to be there and see what happens to these guys.
Sure. Sure, that would be great, my friend. That would be great.
Thanks
the more
so
people
much.
Have, the better. You're welcome, my friend. You're
so
welcome.
Much.
Thanks for
– Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Folks, and Raymond lives in Southern California. So from Oakland, his house is like a, you know, good eight-hour drive, you know. So it's like for many of you, it's like going from one state to one or two states away. You know, it's a long distance. California is a long state, north and south-wise. Okay, very good, my friend. Let's go to our next caller now we have from area code 412. You have a question from Erica 412 caller? Give us your first name, and then your question.
My first name's Larry. I haven't filed a 1040 in about 2 years, and I haven't received anything from the IRS or anything. But what I want to do is figure out where to start with them deducting the money from my account and everything. So I'm pretty much a newbie. I have requested the information from your site, but at this point, I just want to stop them from deducting from my, you know, from my paycheck, and then start the process of freeing myself from their tyranny.
Okay. Well, I talk about that on the previous conference calls. You can get that, but I'll give you a quick summary of it. But on the other conference calls there, my friend, IRS code section 7701A16. Okay, it defines a withholding agent. And 7701 defines everything. They define all kind of stuff, the terms United States, state, corporation, person, stock, married. I mean, you know, they define the most mundane things that you think, well, everybody knows what that is. Why do you have to even define it? Obviously, the generally accepted definition of that term is it. You know, that's but no, the IRS code very specifically defines everything in the most specific way. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm already aware of that kind of stuff. I guess what I'm trying to say is, I've read that. I know that I don't work for the government or anything like that. What I'm saying is, if I ask them at my job to stop withholding, like if I give them, you know, the notice that I know that I don't have to pay this or what have you, but just giving them an affidavit that they have offered it to me, but I'm just denying it. Do I have to do anything else with the IRS or just wait for them to come after me or what?
So you got to take care of the withholding issue yourself. Okay, got it. All right. Well, the other thing to do is what I suggest people do is this, is whether you file or don't file, but a particular non-filer, don't wait for them to come after you. Because one thing I saw about, you know, 20 years ago when I was newer to this movement, you know, 25, 20, 15 years ago, is that people tend to wait and be proactive until they have a problem. Then they go looking to educate themselves further or get some help or belong to an organization that could help them. And then by that time that they do that, they made a bunch of mistakes that are not reversible, or mistakes that cannot be recovered, and it's going to be very costly to fix or cannot be fixed at all, okay? So the better thing to do is what I found is that join a one-for-all group, like the Founding Fathers, you know, a group where you join hands with other like-minded freedom seekers like yourself. So in case they come after you, okay, the resources of the organization that everybody pitched into will be there to back you up. All you got to do is maintain your membership for that fixed amount that you know in advance what it's going to be. So you know, okay, I can afford that. to be part of this organization. So you have a peace of mind that you're not there alone, and it will not cost you an arm and a leg and a shoulder, you know, to try to fix this thing down the road that you may not be able to fix at all, even when it gets there. So with what I did with our program at Freedom Law School with that, if there's any correspondence you get with the IRS will be reviewed to make to and if any response is needed to be done, that will be noted and written and sent to you with the Royal Freedom Package program at Freedom Law School. That way you know that it's not going to be the wrong stuff, you know, will not be done. The right stuff will be done so you can significantly improve the odds of you winning. So that's why the Royal Freedom Package and a Simple Freedom Package is another junior program to that. I put that. I recommend you join one of those because that way you know exactly what you're going to be getting. You're not always worried about what's going to happen tomorrow or next month or next year. If it's predictable what you're going to be in house, you got to contribute to the group and you know that. But what the help you're going to get is going to be full so that any responses, no matter what, will be done for you, given for you to send out.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Larry. Okay, we have another call, it looks like, from, let's see, area code 248. Call from area code 248. Do you have a question, my friend? Okay. All right. All right, it looks like the call from area code 248 does not have a question. Let's see. I have a call from area code 412. That may have a question. They call from area code 412. If you have a question, please announce yourself now. Okay. Very good. So it looks like we have answered the questions of those people on the call that had questions tonight. And I'm happy to do so every Thursday night, folks. You can send your questions to Freedom Law School. And they will be answered. Even if you cannot listen to them on the call, you can in advance send it to Freedom Law School, your questions, and I will cover them on this conference call. And you can later on listen to the broadcast, the recorded broadcast, and get the answer that you want. But if you do that, send your questions by email and not be on the call. Try to be as specific and detailed as you can so I can give you a more specific and a detailed answer for you. Okay, now let's go to the plan, folks. You know, let's talk about putting the IRS and the United States government on trial, okay, for their failure to show the law that requires the average American, like you and me, to file and pay the federal income tax, okay? And that's going to happen, folks. The trial is going to start June 6th, Monday, June 6th. Okay? But the part where the government is going to be put on trial is going to be very likely start on Monday, June 13th. So although it's great if you can be the whole trial, which will be starting on Monday, June 6th from 8:30 a.m. to 1:30 in the afternoon, no lunch break, just the call that a full short day with a few breaks. That's how they're going to have it. I think 8 or 8:30 till 1:30 in the afternoon. But the part you definitely want to be there is going to be the week of June 13th. And Wednesdays, there'll be no trial on Wednesday. And we expect the trial to take 1 week approximately from that time on June 13th week. And it's going to be in the case of Richard Thomas Grant, T-H-O-M-A-S Grant, okay, United States versus Richard Thomas Grant. And I'm going to give you the court case number, too, in a minute. Get your pen. If you'll write this stuff down, write it down, folks. It's going to be at the United States District Court. The address is 1301 Clay Street. C-L-A-Y, Clay Street in Oakland, under third floor of the courthouse, courtroom number 3. And the judge will be the chief judge, the head judge of the U.S. District Court, Judge Phyllis J. Hamilton. Phyllis J. Hamilton. So, and the case number, folks, ready? It's, you can look it up on the internet, 14CR Charlie Rose 00590-PJH Paul J. Harry. So I'll repeat the whole thing one time quickly. The case number is 14CR00590-PJH. And folks, Mr. Grant, he wrote to his two senators and congressmen, Senator Barbara Boxer and Dianne Frankenstein, these two criminal crook Zionists that claim to represent the people of California, folks. I'm Jewish, but I'm not Zionist. Okay, I was born and raised in a Jewish family. These women are a bunch of traitors that claim to represent the people of America. You know, he wrote to these women, and they just ignored him totally. So does congressman. I sent his letters out for him. And, folks, that's because these people are lawmakers. They write the laws. It doesn't matter if the law was written 20 years ago or 100 years ago that these people were not around. It doesn't matter. They are the current legislative branch of the government. They should know what their branch of government did, what they wrote, just like judges. A judge knows what the courts have said 20 years ago or 100 years ago. It doesn't matter that he was not the same judge, does it? Same thing goes for legislature. And he asked them, look, there's this guy named Joseph Bannister who was a gun-carrying special agent with a criminal investigation division of the IRS. And he came across Peyman Motahede, the president of Freedom Law School, and others in a tax honesty movement who said that there is no law requiring the average American, like Mark, Jonathan, John, Ron, Raymond, Larry, there's no law requiring any of you guys to file and pay the federal income tax. And he thought, that's crazy. Why would a government give me a gun to enforce the law with it if I need to with a gun if there's no law? Of course, I'm a law enforcement officer. I'm here to enforce the law with my gun, not a non-existent law. What a ridiculous claim these people are claiming. That there's no law that requires the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. But Mr. Bannister was a humble, open-minded person. He's always willing to give the other person the benefit of the doubt, giving them the opportunity to make the case, listen to them with an open mind, to be persuaded that maybe he was wrong. You know, folks, that's what intelligent, reasonable people are supposed to do, is calmly look at the facts carefully, put their emotions aside, our preferences, our biases, our opinions. Put them aside, just look at the facts calmly and see where the facts and logic, logical reasoning lead you. So once Mr. Bannister verified for himself, it took him about a year, from 1997 to 98, that what I was telling and others were telling about income tax is true. He decided to write a book about it, and then he presented that book to the IRS back in 1999 and asked them to refute it. That book went to IRS's headquarters in Washington, D.C., to the head criminal investigation division office. And he asked him very humbly, very respectfully. He wrote to IRS Commissioner Rosati to refute his book, his conclusions about the income tax being a fraud. An arrogant Commissioner Rosati refused to do that. The lawyers underneath him refused to do that. The IRS management refused to do that. The Criminal Investigation Division of the IRS also failed to show Joe Bannister the law that requires you and me to file and pay the federal income tax. Mr. Bannister then quit because he said, look, I cannot follow my oath to uphold the Constitution at the same time that I follow these illegal orders, these illegal laws I'm trying to enforce. I can't do that. I got to live up to my oath to uphold the Constitution. That's my number one job description. So he left the IRS, and then a nonprofit foundation heard about Joe Bannister, because I was the one publicizing Joe Bannister as best as I could. This nonprofit foundation called We the People Foundation for Constitutional Education flew Mr. Bannister from California to Washington, D.C. several different times in 1999 and early 2000 to get the government to come and debate him and other experts in the tax honesty movement. But the IRS, the government lawyers in the U.S. Department of Justice, congressional leaders, and the White House, none of them ever sent anybody, not one lawyer, clerk, employee ever, to say, hey, man, you guys are all wet. They're here. Here's a copy of the law that requires anybody to file up income tax. See, it's right there. Do that. And so Mr. Grant took all that, Joe Bannister's report, his speeches, and more material related to Joe Bannister, and sent him to his congressmen and senators to show him, hey, is this really true? I mean, really? I mean, you guys enforcing a non-existent law? I mean, is Joe Bannister crazy? Is he a wacko? Is he a liar? You know, is he right or wrong? Tell him, because he looks like the record shows he did a compelling case, very clear case, that the government is full of, you know, people that don't want to care about the law. In fact, there's a politician named Jason Furman who worked for the Clinton White House as a – he was a economic advisor to Clinton White House. And on behalf of the White House, he told the head of the We the People Foundation, quote, that the legality of income tax is not a high priority item at the White House. They don't care. They don't care if they take your money legally or not. Folks, what do you call people who take money illegally? It's a five-letter word. Starts with a T and ends with an F. A thief. A thief takes your money illegally. A criminal. An outlaw. So essentially, the federal government says, we don't care if we take your money illegally. We're a bunch of thieves and criminals. We just want the money just like a thief and a criminal. Folks, and he asked about this from Senator Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein and his congressman about, you know, these politicians, these crooks who only, you know, do what the bidding of the powerful money special interests who pay for their advertising election campaigns. That's who they represent, folks. You know that. You all know that. They don't represent you and I. They represent the people who pay for them to advertise themselves to you and me to vote for them. So none of them answered that. Why? And a jury must acquit Mr. Grant if they even suspect that Mr. Grant really believed that he was not required to file and pay income tax. But with a record like that, what do you think is going to happen? You ask government to show you the law before you do something or not do something that they say you are required to do, and they just ignore you. Then you do what you're going to do or not do what you think you don't have to do, and then they come and try to put you in jail even though the government ignored you. They totally ignored you. I mean, what's the government for? What's the laws for? The laws are written for everybody to follow it faithfully, correctly. Read it. It's English language, not Chinese, not Persian, not Hebrew. It's English to follow. You ask them, let me see the law to read for myself, and they don't give it to you. And then they say, oh, we want to put you in jail now, even though we failed to give you the law. Folks, the jury must acquit Mr. Grant. If they see after all this, did he have reasonably, really, did it look like, you know, can they understand why Mr. Grant didn't file and pay income tax, even though the jurors, in this case, will be all of them, practically, will be people who file and pay income tax, probably. Okay? And they pay the income tax year after year faithfully, and they might be jealous of Mr. Grant making more than many of them, and they want him to pay his fair share, they think. But the law says you have to acquit him. You have to let Mr. Grant go free if you see that Mr. Grant sincerely believes he's not required to file income tax. Why? Because the government, he asked them, and they never show him the law. And he went to trouble. I sent for folks to Joe Bannister's report. I sent him the video of Joe Bannister, two of them, okay, and full-page reprints of USA Today ads that expose all this stuff to the American public. Folks, this costs money, all this material. And then you have to pay for mailing them out as well. It all costs money. Okay? So, folks, this is going to be on trial, and the government will not and cannot show the law. And when a jury acquits Mr. Grant, folks, that is going to be news. The government is going to see the gig is up because people are doing their homework. People are confronting the legislatures, the lawmakers, the people that are supposed to write the laws and oversee the executive branch. That these people are not showing the law that requires people to file income tax because apparently there isn't any. Let's quit this fraudulent game. Let's quit this corrupt tax system and go have a tax system like we had over 100 years ago, folks. We had an income tax free system for over 100 years before we started in 1913. So we don't have to have income tax for America to become prosperous. We went from, you know, 13 colonies to 48 states without income tax, except the few years during the War of the States, the Civil War. So we can have an honest constitutional taxing system to fund the government operations, okay, to fund the military, you know, the courts, okay, immigration services, all the stuff the government's supposed to do. We just need to have the government do it by the book called The United States Constitution and Laws. So, folks, be there if you can. Now, I'm a witness in this case. I'm going to be testifying, okay, in this case, as a witness of Mr. Grant, because I'm the one that mailed out the material for him. So the week of June 6th, although I'll be in the Oakland area, I will very likely not be allowed to be in court because witnesses are not supposed to be in the trial and hear other people's testimony and maybe change their testimony, that type of thing. Okay, not be affected their testimony by what they see. So that's a general rule. The IRS may let me be there, the U.S. Department of Injustice, but probably not. But I'll definitely be in a courthouse the week of June 13th. Okay? So I'll be testifying on the 13th or 14th or 15th. I don't know exactly. But be there, folks, June 13th, Monday, if you can. Be there earlier if you can, June 6th. Because you're going to learn a lot more about how our legal system laws really work, folks. So be there, folks. And if I can meet you guys at night, you know, if you guys are in the courthouse, I can do meet you guys at nighttime. I'll let the lawyer, Mr. William Cohan, a great lawyer, folks. I tell you, the lawyer, Mr. Grant, is one of the best lawyers I've ever met. Intelligent. Organized, knows his stuff, knows this case. You know, he's from San Diego. He's very good. I've known him for 19 years. He's really good. So, no, I'm sorry, 16 years. So, folks, I go, you know, if you give him my your name and phone after a trial, after every day, I'll try to meet with you guys sometime at night if you want to talk about things. So, anyhow, folks, what you want to do at this time now is share this information with your friends. Get on our Facebook page and share our message about this to your Facebook friends. If you got an email from us, forward it to your friends. Invite them to send this to their friends and coworkers. Folks, let's get the word out. This is a peaceful American revolution, folks. Is any wonder why Trump did all these 17 Republican challengers in the primaries? Even the Senator Rand Paul, son of Ron Paul, even he was one of the top candidates, he didn't make it even. Because people want an outsider to clean up this corrupt government, folks. People are waking up. We've been in a Great Depression for over 8 years. And in the Democratic side, people don't want, the Democrats don't want that crooked Hillary Clinton, a murderous woman who lies through her teeth all the time. Can you believe, folks? It's all out there. Yeah, I mean, you're not supposed to take your emails out of your home. You know, seriously, you can take your emails, the government, to your home. You know, you deal with all this top secret classified stuff. You put it all there. All of it. She put all of it there, and she says it's all good. I mean, she just lies to you, you know, like drinking water. Folks, the Democrats see that. They don't want this lying crooked Hillary. That's why they're going for Bernie Sanders. They have these big, you know, people showing up for Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, both outsiders. People are waking up, folks. I know your friends and family members. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you told them about this stuff. They wouldn't listen to you. About the Federal Reserve. About the income tax fraud. They called you a kook. They called you crazy or conspiracy theorist. But folks, we the ones, Ron Paul and me and other patriots who predicted this Great Depression, engineered by the banksters for the benefit of the banksters, and the one that got bailed out were the banksters. Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, Citi. So folks, tell them. They will, a lot more of them will listen to you now. And you tell your friend, and he ignores you. One of the people on this call, another person, emails them. They happen to be having a mutual friend you don't know. And they say, wait a minute, I got this from two different people. I got this from Ron and Mark and Larry. Gee, maybe there's something to it. There's talk going on about it. And he'll check it out, and he'll tell his friends. And on and on and on. That's how a movement starts, folks, with a word of mouth. You want to do it? So do it. do the right thing you want to do in your heart and share this with your friends, folks. Okay? Get this information out there. We're going to put information about this week on our website at livefreenow.org about this case. Do all that, folks, and tell them to call back, conference call, Freedom Law School next week. I'll give you more about this, folks. And, folks, we're going to together get rid of income tax, get rid of this Federal Reserve banking system, have the government follow the U.S. Constitution, bring peace, get out of these wars, these illegal, unconstitutional wars that are destroying America and our world and the world and innocent people out there in the Middle East, folks, that are being killed with bombs under our names. We're going to stop all that and bring prosperity and peace to America, to your life, once again. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to speaking with you again next Thursday night at 7 o'clock Eastern Time Zone. Good night, everybody.